Genesis chapter 28, let's all stand, please. We're going to look at verse number 10, 11, and 12. And then I'm going to give you a formula that's well worth jotting down. It's a very simple formula, and I promise you that it works. Yeah, I know that it works because I use it almost every single day of my life and have now for decades. There's a difference between dreaming and achieving. A lot of people dream about things that they'd like to do, accomplish, have, be. There's very few people that achieve those things. And I'm going to give you a formula, and I promise you, if you're a mom and you're trying to raise kids, this formula works. If you're trying to have a happy marriage, this formula works. If you want to build a pole barn, this formula works. If you want to build a bus route, this formula works. I mean, I'm just telling you that anything and everything in life that's right and good and godly and within the will of God for your life, I'm going to tell you how you can stop dreaming about it and actually achieve it. It's a wonderful thing to get to the end of a thing. It's a wonderful thing to, as the Bible says in Proverbs, to have that desire accomplished. A lot of people are eat up with desire. They want, they want, they want, but they don't seem to be able to get past the dreaming stage. And I'm telling young people, what I'm going to give you is absolute gold. Absolute gold. By the way, it's not a magic formula. And it's not necessarily an easy thing, but it works. So stay with me, and I'm going to give you some things that will help you this morning. All right, Genesis chapter 28, verse number 10. Genesis 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that we'd take this wonderful Bible principle, Lord, and put it into our lives. Lord, a very simple formula. It's the difference between the mindset and the way victorious Christians think and the ones that, dear God, seem to struggle and want and desire and dream but never accomplish. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to be able to take what the preacher gives this morning, and Lord, with your Holy Spirit's help, may each person just apply it to the areas of their life, maybe the challenges they're facing, maybe something they've been wanting to do, and they know it's of God, and they need to do it, and they maybe have just struggled, how do I do it? I pray, Lord, that you'll help, and Jesus, help us, Lord, to see it. We pray in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. I don't believe that there's any group of people, and by the way, I don't live with a martyr's mentality, but I don't believe there's any group of people that are more misunderstood than Bible-believing Christians. I just think the world has a hard time figuring us out. And one of the reasons is because, as I've mentioned many times in the introduction of this series, is that, you know what, the world does not think like Christians think. They don't have a biblical mentality about things. Lost people do not think the same as saved people. Dedicated Christians think differently than undedicated Christians. Separated Christians think differently than unseparated Christians. And once you are saved, and then you're willing to dedicate yourself fully to the Lord, and then you know what, folks, we are in the world, and that's fine because we need to be. We are sent to reach the world, help Jesus reach the world. We can be in the world, but not of the world. And sometimes that's a fine line, and it's hard sometimes to figure out where it starts and where it stops. But you know what? Aren't you glad you have the Holy Spirit of God that helps you in that area? It just seems like I want to be integrated in the world enough to make an impact and reach it for Christ, but I don't want to be integrated into it to the point where I start becoming like it. And we've always got to have that separatist stand to realize there's just certain things that the world does we can't do. Certain places the world goes, we just as a Christian can't in good conscience go. And because of that, honestly, sometimes we're going to be misunderstood. Sometimes we're going to be talked down. Sometimes, honestly, we're going to be lied about. Because it seems like whatever the world can't understand, they tend to attack. And so that just comes with it. Again, it's just part of it. We get it. We understand it. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we have a biblical mentality. I don't want to think like the world. I want to think like the Bible. I don't want to view life like the world views it. And so this entire series, I hope, has been geared towards helping us to have the right mindset. This matter of I can or I can't. You know what? A Christian says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If it's the right thing to do, And God wants me to do it. I can do it because you know what? God will give me the strength to do it. It's a matter of being a thermostat or a thermometer. The idea of, you know what? You walk into a situation. Do you change like a chameleon to match whatever situation? Or do you change your situation? It's a matter of victim or victor. Boy, I want to re-preach that. I'm not going to, but we have a horrible plague, I mean an epidemic in our country of a victim's mentality. And God did not intend you to walk around being a victim. He intended to make you a victor through Jesus Christ. Rights or responsibilities. I am so sick and tired of hearing Americans talk about their rights. We talked about how the first 50 years of the 1900s, you heard much about our civil duties. But from 1950s, 60s on, all you heard about and still hear about is our civil rights. Why aren't we concerned about our civil duties? Why have this switched to our civil rights, rights or responsibilities, cowardice or courageous? And there's a lot of people that are the 10 spies that sit on the other side of Jordan and start talking about all the reasons why we can't go in. And then thank God for Joshua and Caleb. And boy, we learned something from them, didn't we? Half full or half empty. Well, preacher, I would if I had enough. And one of the great things to learn in life is not enough is enough. Not enough plus God is enough. And it's just a different way of thinking. Confusion or peace. And boy, that was, I hope, a helpful study. The devil wants to keep us mentally confused. He'll bring things up in our mind and our life that keep us from focusing and fulfilling God's purpose in our life. God wants to bring peace into our life. God's not the author of confusion. Lose it or laugh. Folks, listen to me. You've got to understand there's things in your control and there's some things out of your control. And if you try to control what's out of your control, you're going to lose it. And sometimes you just have to sit back and laugh about something. You honestly do. Keep your sense of humor. Keep your merry heart. Excuses or results. And again, we live in a world of excuses. The Bible addresses that idea of excuses. God condemns the idea of excuses. There's a difference between making excuses or having results. Troublemaker or problem solver, first or last, if you get things in order, it's amazing how much easier your life goes. Decisions make themselves if your priorities are right. And today, dreaming or achieving. I've done enough reviewing. Dreaming or achieving. Dreams are important. One of the things that sets us apart from the world as Christians is that God doesn't just save us, but he saves us to give us a vision, to give us a dream for our life. We call it the will of God, but you know what? The will of God is not just one thing. I think it's a thing that is revealed day by day, week by week, month by month. It seems like God will put something in your heart and he'll want you to accomplish it. And then he puts something else in your heart. And it's exciting because you know what? You're not living just trying to accomplish what you want to do in life. You know that you're a part of a greater plan, something bigger, something eternal. There's the kingdom of earth and there's the kingdom of heaven. And let's be busy making an impact for the kingdom of heaven. We think of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37 that dreamed a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him yet the more. And Joseph was at that time when the youngest son, but I'm going to tell you something, he was a dreamer and it bothered, you know, dreamers always bother people that are not dreamers. And yet dreams are important. Having a vision is so important that the Bible says without a vision, the people perish. There's got to be somebody that says, I see something beyond what we have and what we are. I see what we could be. And God wants to give that to you in your life, folks, in your individual life. God wants to use you in a unique way. He's got a will for your life that's not the same as mine and opportunities and things that he's going to have you accomplish. And you know what? That's the exciting part of the ministry is, listen, it's not a matter of me wanting you to fulfill my dreams as much as find the dreams God has for you and fulfill them in your life. And it's amazing when we're all doing that, how it all works together for good in the local assembly. And no group of people in the world are as misunderstood as Christians, especially Christians who are dreamers. Yet the world needs visionaries. They need spiritual oracles who can see clearly where a nation is and where it needs to be. Well, we need that in politics right now. Where a church is and where it needs to be. Where an individual is and where he needs to be. And by the way, to be able to help him to see it himself and become that. I hope you have a dream. I want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be a place, a gathering, a safe haven, a prep school, if you'll let me say, for dreamers. Is there someone here maybe that God will put the dream, young person, a dream of a mission field across the seas? Is there a young man who maybe just like God's awakened this dream in Brother Reiser's heart for Princeton. Would there be some other young men that God would raise up here? And there's a community, a city, somewhere that God's going to burden you and prepare you for and give you a dream to reach and impact that city. Is there a youth group out there somewhere that God's going to take some of you young men or young ladies and help you to be able to make an impact on the next generation? I mean, folks, it's wide open what's out there, and God wants to use every single one of us. And so if you came here this morning without a dream, I'm going to pray that you refuse to leave the same as you came in. Ask God to show you what he wants you to do with his life. Then do it. Do it. Dream the dream. Don't let anybody steal it from you. Don't let anybody take it from you, because dreams are important. Now listen to what I'm going to say. And this is something I've taught before here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but I probably ought to preach it every 6 months. Dreams are important, but they are also well nigh worthless without a ladder. Without a ladder. I'm going to talk to you the difference between dreaming and achieving. Dreaming and achieving. Yep, you heard me right. A ladder. A ladder. And so I'm going to preach on this subject this morning, dreaming or achieving. In Genesis 28, verse 12, we read, and he dreamed a dream, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. The top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God, watch this, ascending. So they went up and then descending on it. By the way, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We're going to help you with that. Jacob also had a dream. By the way, this dream came from God. We're going to hit that hard in just a minute. You know what? If you're saved, you've been bought. And you can dream a lot of dreams that you conjure up, but you need to find out the dream that God wants to give you, okay? Make sure that your dream comes from God. He dreamed of heaven and of the Lord, of angels and beauty. Listen to this. And reaching up from where he was to what he dreamed was a ladder. Now think about that. When you have a dream, what it is you're dreaming, your dream is something that's not been accomplished yet. It's not where you're at yet. It's something you want to go to be, or some place you want to arrive, or something you want to do. So here you are, and there it is. And there's a lot of people that say, okay, I'm here, but I dream of that, but I don't know how to get from here to that. And so God gave this wonderful little story in the Bible to help us to know how to get there. You know what was reaching up from where he was to what he dreamed? A ladder. A ladder, by the way, are you picturing it? With rungs or steps? Y'all ever climbed a ladder? Amen. Good practical things in life, you know. Guess what? You don't step up on the fifth step. You don't start on the fifth step. Unless you're very, very long-legged, you do not step up on the fifth step. I wouldn't even recommend trying to go two at a time. I would just, you know what? Here's the thing, folks. When you're climbing a ladder, you're doing something that's a little dangerous. The best way to do it is just take one step at a time. Take a step at a time. You see, from where you are to what you dream of being one day, there is a ladder. There's a way to reach it. But you know what? There's no elevator, all right? There's no escalator. There's a ladder. And you know what you got to do? You got to be able to see the ladder. And then you've got to be willing to climb the ladder. And when you do that, you can achieve the dream. Let me give you the formula. Here it is. I ask you to write it down. It's real simple. Dream a dream. Number one, dream a dream. Number one, dream a dream. Number two, see the ladder. That's what Jacob did. He saw the ladder. Number three, climb the ladder. Number four, realize the dream. Realize the dream. Number one, dream a dream. Number two, see the ladder. Number three, climb the ladder. Number four, realize the dream. So it starts with a dream or a vision, something that God puts in your heart. And then you got to see the ladder. What's that? That's the plan. That's step by step. How do I go from where I am to what do I want to accomplish? Where I am to what I want to be. All right? Listen, you don't start the journey of 1,000 miles. Listen, it starts with the first step. You know what, preacher, but you know, it's just so far up there. Well, you know what? You can stand here the rest of your life and just dream about it. Or you can go over there and walk and step on the first rung of the ladder. And then you know what you do? Well, preachers, I'm scared of heights. Anybody in here scared of heights? You know, well, hold on tight to the ladder. By the way, it's probably good to be a little scared while you're climbing the ladder. Because you know what it's going to do? It's going to keep you praying. And you know what? Watch this. It's going to take you out of your comfort zone. It's a lot safer just to stay down here. Okay, you're not going to fall if you're down here. By the way, I'd rather somebody fall trying to do something than set safe. Don't throw rocks at the person that tried something and failed. Okay, at least they tried. I always said those disciples, you know, they could maybe make fun of Peter later on for getting out of the boat and sinking, but folks, he got out of the boat and he did walk on water. The Bible said he did walk on water. For a while he walked. Hey, the other 11 can't say that they did that. And listen, don't worry about what everybody else is going to say. Or how, preacher, I'm just too afraid of fear. And listen, God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. Okay, that didn't come from God. And so that's the formula. Dream a dream, see the ladder, climb the ladder, realize the dream. We're going to break it down. We'll talk about each of these this morning. Number one, dream a dream. Now, as I already said, I want to reemphasize this. Make sure that dream is from God. And young people, there's a lot of things that maybe in your youth, you know, you dream of being or dream of becoming, and you might come up with a plan. And I'm okay with that as long as it's not anything sinful or wrong. I'd rather a kid be heading in some direction, because if you're heading in some direction, God can alter your direction. And it's easier to just adjust something that's moving than it is to get it moving. But you know, head off into something, pray about it. Make sure it's God's will for your life, but ask God to give you a dream. Make sure your dream is within God's perfect and divine will for your life. A dream for God will take you towards the perfect will of His perfect will for your life. A dream conjured up by yourself will take you usually away from God's perfect will for your life. So just make sure that you dream the right dream. Remember the formula we went through when we introduced this series out of Romans chapter 12? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. How do I get to the will of God? You got to be saved first. I beseech you therefore, brother. You got to be willing to dedicate yourself to God. Present your body a living sacrifice. You got to decide, I'm not going to be conformed to the world. I want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This whole series is about teaching us to think right. Why? Why? Why did we take 12 weeks on this? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so if you're willing to be saved and you're willing to dedicate yourself fully to Christ and you're willing to separate yourself from the world, not be conformed to it, and then be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you are in a great position then for God to reveal to you His will for your life and the dream that He wants you to accomplish while you're on this round ball called earth. Let me ask you before we go on, do you have a dream? And some of you young people say, preacher, I don't even know yet. That's okay. You know, it's wonderful. Just spend time praying about it. Just letting God work on the little things in your life. I promise you, if you head off and you dedicate yourself and you head towards God's will and that's what you want, God in His time will unfold it a step at a time. Remember, it's a ladder, folks. It's not an elevator, a step at a time. Just let me ask you this. What do you know is God's will for you now? Then take that step. And after you take that step, ask yourself, what is the next thing that is the will of God? Just take that next step. And you may think that you know where that ladder's coming, and you may get to the top of it, and God had a whole different plan for your life. In the fall of 1979, I arrived as a 17-year-old young man to Bible college, and I showed up, I'll be honest with you, folks, I showed up with a dream. But you know what I needed to learn at Bible college? I needed to learn how to build a ladder. And most young people, you know what you know? Listen, I think we got a bunch of dreamers in here. I really do. I thank God that we got young people that want to do the will of God. But you know what? Wanting to and accomplishing it, it's two different things. And you know what? You got to learn to build a ladder. You got to see the steps. You got to see the ladder. You got to come up with a plan. And so number one, dream a dream. Dream a dream. I showed up at Bible college at 17 years of age with a dream. By the way, many of us that showed up at the same time there, I run into them all over the country, and they are living out their dream. They've accomplished some things for God. They're living exciting lives. I also sadly run into some guys that came to the same Bible college I did and had a dream like I did, but you know what? They're still, and by the way, there's nothing sadder than running into a 50-something-year-old guy that's still dreaming but can't seem to figure out how to take the first step and how to make that dream come true. And so I think it's important that you dream a dream. Now, listen, I'm gonna ask you to do something. Young guys, listen to me. Young ladies, listen to me. And a handful of you will do this, and most of you won't. I'm talking about adults. You ought to do this. When I'm talking about dreaming a dream, listen to me. I'm talking about writing it down. I came across in one of my files just recently, an old set of files that I had that I need to go through and look at. I mean, I came across pieces of paper that I set down as a 16-year-old young man, and I wrote out goals for my life. Listen, we are living in a society where people are not dreaming. They have no goals. Because of that, they're not accomplishing anything. I'm talking about write them down. We preached a message at the beginning of our school year last year. First message of chapel last year, Blessed Hope Baptist School, I walked in, and I challenged our young people this matter of setting goals. I'm talking about from kindergarten all the way up. I told them, I think everybody in here ought to set five goals that you want to accomplish in the next 12 months. Five goals that you want to accomplish in the next 5 years. And five goals that you want to accomplish before you die. And you know what I told our young people? I want you to write them down. By the way, it's great to have a Christian school because I can actually assign them things. And they have to do it. I thought about trying that here, you know. But I mean, you know what? And by the way, that was one of the blessed times. They all went, this is the five things I want to accomplish. Now, you can imagine elementary students. I mean, some of that was pretty cool, you know. Like, they wanted to eat an entire gallon of ice cream in one setting, you know. I mean, great spiritual goals. Now, that obviously comes from God. I mean, come on now. But these are the things I want to accomplish in the next 12 months. Here's the things I want to accomplish. Listen, what are you going towards? Here's more. Listen, we call them short-term, mid-range, and long-term goals. I mean, you ought to be something, working on something right now that you're trying to accomplish. And you ought to, listen, if you start out 2017 and you didn't have anything written down that you wanted to accomplish by the end of 2017, all the things you've dreamed of probably aren't being done. So write them down. Hey, guess what? Did I say 17? 2016. By the way, 2016's not over. Well, I guess I'll wait till January. Okay, go ahead, procrastinator. That's why you're not doing anything now. If I check my calendar right, we still have September, October, November, and December. I mean, why don't you write down something? Here's five things I want to accomplish that I know I need to accomplish. And by the way, how do you decide these things? Well, okay, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you good stuff today. I should charge you for this. I really should. I should be one of these guys that rent like a conference room at the Hyatt Regency and you have to pay like $125 to come in and learn this stuff so that you can be a success in life. And I just show up here and give it away free. That's ridiculous. So here I am. You're getting it for free. Listen, we're a triune being. How do you set goals? What do you accomplish? Okay, we're body, soul, and spirit. Which means there's three distinct areas of your life that you ought to be setting goals in. Okay, you ought to have some goals concerning, listen, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. It ought to be treated as such. You know what? The other day, August 15th, I told my wife, tomorrow's August 15th, isn't it? She said, yes. I said, oh, no. She said, why? I said, because that's the date I set, August 15th. Lord willing, I'm going to go elk hunting again in October. Guess what? From October 15th till I'm out there on October 20th, I've got to get in shape to go elk hunting. So I got on the elliptical the other night, and I thought, well, I'll just rip off 30 minutes on the elliptical. After about 10 minutes, my wife was giving me CPR on the floor of our bed, trying to get my heart started again. I mean, you know, I just think I'm going to jump on and pick up where I left off. And you know what? You know what? I got a goal. I'm going to do something. Okay? I decided my wife was going to not be married to an overweight husband. Decided it early in my... And so you know what I did? I just got a window. And between 100 and windows growing here. Okay. I mean, when I went to the doctor the other day, they say get on the scales. I can tell them what I'm going to weigh. You know, well, of course their scales was broke. There was a problem. You notice how the doctor's scales are always, something's wrong with them anyway. But, you know, I weigh between 190 and 100 and 200 pounds. I stay in that window. And you know, I say it kidding, but it's the way I lay. If I weigh myself and I'm 198, 199, it's the next 3 days, it's not going to be fun. Because I'm going to eat salad and I'll skip a meal here and there. But, man, when I get on there and it's 192, look out, Dairy Queen. Man, I'll sit down and eat a whole chocolate pie, man. It's great. It's great, you know. And that's what I do. And you know what? I'm talking about physical goals. Everybody in here, you know what? You're dealing with different things and whatever, and different ages and different abilities. But You know what? I mean that. You ought to set some goals. I'm talking about body, soul, and spirit. How about this matter of spiritual matters? You know, many of our young people, you know what they wrote down a year ago? They said, I want to read through the Bible. First time ever. And some of them's accomplished it since then. They set a spiritual goal. Some of them said, you know, I'm honestly, preach, I don't have much of a prayer life. I'm going to spend 10 minutes a day in prayer. And they accomplished it. They met a spiritual goal. Several of them wrote down, I'd like to win my first soul to Jesus Christ. And you know what? I've had several of them come to me since then and said, preacher, today I got to lead my first soul. You know why you don't? Listen, if we're not careful, you know why we don't accomplish anything? We're not shooting for anything. It's the story of the little boy that's in his backyard, full moon. He's got a BB gun and he keeps pumping it and shooting at the moon, pumping it, shooting the moon. The guy walks by and said, what in the world are you doing? He said, I'm going to hit the moon with a BB. And the guy said, you'll never do that. He looked over at that man and said, I'm coming a lot closer than you are. And maybe I don't hit all my goals, but I come a lot closer than somebody that's not got any goals. And I'm talking about your soul. By the way, your soul is your mind, your emotions. You're talking about your mind, your heart, and your will. You know, look right up here. I can help some of you. You say you set goals for your will. Some of you need to set goals for your will. You know what? You're strong-willed. And you need to temper that. Okay, I'm going to be less aggressive of wanting my way all the time. I'm going to, on purpose, do things that's going to humble me. Amen. And say, like what? By the way, all our cleaning girls would be glad for you to do this. Like, you know what? Just go to the Sister Patty King oversees this. Just go to her and say, tell all the girls not to mess with the bathrooms this week. I'm going to come over and I'm going to clean all the bathrooms of the church. And all the ladies, girls will get in bed. Praise God. I hope everybody. Come, what's that? You know what? You too good to do that? Come on now, I'm talking about your will. Well, I'm not going to do that. Well, that's your problem. Well, there's certain things that's your problem. Do you have a surrendered will? What is it that God would ask you to do that you just won't? I say this often, the Holy Spirit's trying to use it on somebody. Some of you got a handful of stubborn sins, you've had them for decades, and your preacher's preached on them, and you know what? You're not going to do it because, you know why? You got a stubborn will. Okay? I'm talking about setting goals for your will. I'm talking about setting goals for your mind. How about, come on, some of you haven't read a book in 10 years. You got 4 months left in this. Could you read a book? I'm talking about a good book. I'm talking about a book that'll help you. Okay, how are you going to improve mentally if you never pick up a book and read? I'm not talking about getting on the internet and reading junk. You know, you've read 65 books if we added up all the Facebook posts you've read. But you can't read a book on prayer? You can't read a book on the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You can't go back there and pick one book out of the cabinet and spend $3 or $4 and help yourself spiritually and mentally. Okay, I'm talking about your mind. I'm talking about your emotions, your heart. Okay, here's a great question. Where's your heart? You know, listen, you know what you got to do? If you're going to advance and you're going to get on that ladder and you're going to climb, you have to be honest about some things. About yourself. You can sit on here the rest of your life making excuses why you can't climb the ladder, or you can get on that first rung and say, okay, it's not going to be easy, but let's go. Dream a dream. It starts with dreaming a dream. Okay, set some goals. Some of you young men, young ladies, I mean that. You ought to say, physically, I need to change some things. Make excuses the rest of your life or change some things. Okay, spiritually, I need to change some things. In my mind, in my heart, in my will, I need to change something. And here's my goals. And search me, O God, know my heart. Holy Spirit's the best one to give you examination. And if you'll be honest with him, he'll be honest with you. And listen, this isn't a matter of putting you down. It's a matter of getting you to be able to go up. And it starts with honesty. Nobody in here has arrived. I've got so far to go in every one of these areas. But you know what I do? Every year I set another goal and I get a little closer. And I want to go a little higher. And I want to do a little better. We're talking about dreaming a dream. Number two, see the ladder. Now, it's one thing to dream the dream. You can fill out the paperwork. You can write it all down. Body, soul, spirit. 5 goals I want to accomplish in each area in the next 12 months. 5 I want to accomplish in the next 5 years. 5 I want to accomplish by the end of my life. You can write it all down. But you know what, folks? If you can't see the steps. And a lot of times, watch this. I'll show you how to preacher. I don't know how to get here. I am. That's where I want to be. I don't know the steps. Aren't you glad that when Jacob dreamed the dream, he saw angels ascending and descending? Okay. Notice they ascended first, then they descended. You know what? There are people that have climbed whatever ladder. They were where you are at, and they got to where you want to be, and they climbed it. And by the way, there's a lot of people that are willing to come back down that ladder and help you figure out how to get up too. Young people, listen to me. Your parents are smarter than you are giving them credit for. Easiest thing in the world is to sit down and talk down your mom and dad. They're smarter than you. They know more than you do. Your mom and dad have more brains in their little finger than you have in your whole body. Why don't you be humble enough to listen to them? Go find somebody. And you know what? That's why we have a multitude of counselors. If I want to accomplish something, you know, I told the story about, you know, basically how I ended up needing to write my first book. I taught the series on the teenage years of Jesus Christ, studied that out, developed it for our young people, taught them. God used that in a lot of our teens' lives to do a phenomenal change in their life. My dad says, brought me in the office, said, what are you teaching our teens? Down teen training hour. I said, well, I'm just teaching this series. I went and got the notes, showed him. He's like, I'm going to tell you something. God's changing our young people. And he said, you need to put that in a book. You need to get that written into a book. And then he just sends me out of the office. I thought, well, that's easy for you. Just go write a book. Okay, all right. I've never written a book. Okay, here I am. And here's what I'm supposed to do. And how do I get from here to here and write a book? And you know what? There are people that have written books. Okay? And there's people that have written books that are more than happy to spend time helping you to understand the process. And you know what? I read 30 books on how to write a book before I tried to write a book. Okay? I'm talking about educating you. You know what, folks? Listen to me. You don't have to go down here to ISU and sign up for a journalism class to learn how to write. In this information generation, everything you need to know, you have access to. You can find it. You can read about it. You can self-educate yours. By the way, you don't have to be under the influence of a bunch of heathen teachers that way. Most of them are heathens that would teach you the wrong things and the wrong way to do things anyway. So self-educate. Okay? And then I did. I called up. I went probably three off the top of my head, where I drove and sat down and spent an afternoon talking to men who had written books. And what I'm saying is, come on. You know what I was doing? I was building a ladder. Okay? I don't know how to get this, but somebody else knows how. And you'd be surprised how many people are willing to help you. I'll make it easy. Girls, some of your goals, teenage girls, ought to be to know how to bake chocolate chip cookies. I mean, really, what good are you in life if you don't know how to do that? Good. That ought to be like the first thing. I mean, saved, baptized, learn how to make chocolate chip cookies. That ought to be like the second step in your progression of your Christian life. I just can't bake. I just can't. Stop. Well, I just can't. I just stop. What do you mean you don't? You can't. Grandma knows how. Who does know how? All right. Would it be that much just to call somebody? So, man, I was at the last church get-together, and oh, my goodness, I had your chocolate chip cookies, and that's amazing. Can I come over? And you know what? Most people, absolutely. I mean, my wife makes unbelievable chocolate chip cookies. She's like the chocolate chip cookie champion of the world. She is. And all of my daughters know how to make chocolate chip cookies. We're starting on the third generation of chocolate chip cookie makers. I mean, whatever it is. I'm not talking about some giant thing. What is it? What is it? I can't. Well, I just can't. I just stop. All right. Whatever it is, God wants you to see the ladder. Learn the steps. All right. Whatever it is God wants you to do, you can learn how to do it. You see, dreams do not come true overnight. See the ladder. Great dreams involve great journeys. There's always a distance involved. Where are you now? Where is it that you dream of? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a step right down the steps. Here is how I get from where I am to accomplish this thing. Number three, I got to hurry, climb the ladder. Now, watch this. This is where all of a sudden the work begins. The work begins. I see a lot of people get to the first two steps and they never hit the third. You know why? Because all of a sudden, watch this, watch. You start by dreaming, but you go from dreaming to building, then you go from building to climbing. Listen, dreaming's inspiration, Climbing's perspiration. Talk to businessmen. You know, build a business? Somebody does. We spend the rest of our life walking around crying about we don't have what other people have. What do you need to learn? What do you need to learn? You're not telling me nobody's ever done it? Come on now. What I'm saying is this, whatever it is. But you know, at some point, folks, listen to me, you can dream and you can even study and figure out how to do it, but you still got to climb the ladder. I'm talking about character here. You see, dreaming a dream, if you dream the dream, you have a vision. If you see the ladder, you have a plan. But when you climb the ladder, you must exercise stellar character. That means your alarm's got to go off a little earlier than it used to. You know why? Because you got more to do in the day. And you're going to come home tired sometimes, and you're not going to want to do it. And you know what? You're going to do what I did when I wrote my first book. You know what? Sometimes, listen, I'd go to bed and I'd sleep from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the morning and I'd wake up like that and I'd get up and I'd write from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock and I'd go back in and sleep for an hour and a half and then I'd go do a full day's work. Listen, what I'm saying is this. You know what? We want microwave success. Everybody's looking for a shortcut. I'm telling you, when it comes down to it, there comes a point where you not just have a plan, but you got to work that plan. You've got to have some, I'm talking about work, effort, persistence, determination. I'm talking about climbing the ladder. Okay? Climbing the ladder. Climbing the ladder. You know, I came back from the elk hunt and I preached on those mountain lessons and I reread that book the other day and I'm going to tell you something. It's good. Yes. It's just good. I want to make it required reading for everybody in our church every year. I mean, there are so many things in life. You know, why? Well, it must be nice. It must be. I'm so sick of people that are eat up with jealousy and envy. And the problem isn't that everybody gets a break that you don't get or everybody, you know what it is? It's that you won't climb the ladder. Okay, at some point, stop making excuses and decide to do it. And by the way, pay the price to be able to do it. And by the way, climb. I see a lot of people, they got it, you know, here they are. They're dreaming the dream. Then they get a plan and this is how I get there. And they get about three steps up and next thing you know, they climb back down and I just don't have to. And then you know what? They spend the rest of their life making excuses. At some point, you know what? It's just you and the ladder. And thank God, there's Almighty God that will help you every step along the way too. But he's not going to grab you and float you up to the top. He's going to give you strength for the day. And you got to determine what you're going to do. Now, folks, listen to me. I mentioned a couple times about writing a book. It's probably not God's will for most of you to write a book. Your will, the will for my life is not the will for your life. But what is it? What is it that God wants you to accomplish? What is it that God wants you to do? I'm going to tell you, when I came to Blessed Hope Baptist Church in 1994, and by the way, we had good people here with good young people here, but I looked at our youth group here and I said, there is a place that they have never gone to that I want to take them. And you know what I did? I started building a ladder. And I'm going to tell you something. It was work. And it was, I mean, I'm going to tell you sometimes you climb three steps and then it felt like you went two backwards. But you know, I just made up my mind. God, you know what? I want these kids to experience some things and know that you're real and see the supernatural and believe in you in a way they've never believed in you. And God, you know what I did? I talked to successful youth leaders and successful youth pastors and I came up with a Bible-based ladder and I said, I'm going to help these kids climb this ladder. And by the way, I'm still doing it, trying to do it with our teens today at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And you know what? What do you want in life? You got to decide. Climb the ladder. Number four, realize the dream. Proverbs 13:19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Sweet to the soul. Is there a sweetness in your heart, sweetness in your mind? You know how to get that? Desire accomplished. You know what Brother Reiser's going to experience two weeks from today? Oh, I know it's just the first Sunday, and I know it's just the beginning of a whole new journey. But just to be able to walk behind that pulpit on the first thing and his family sitting there, hallelujah. I'm getting all weepy about it. I tried to talk to him this morning about it, and I just kept crying. He's down there organizing the visitation, and I don't know whether to cry or shout. It's so much fun going somewhere where I don't have to be the pastor. I just grunt work, man. I just want somebody else to organize it, run. Just let me put flyers on a door. Just let me have a little part, man. It's so exciting. But you know what, folks? Listen to me. You know how you realize the dream? You climb the ladder. You know how you climb the ladder? You got to see the ladder. You know how you desire to have a ladder? You got to dream the dream. So let's take it backwards. How do you get from where you want to be back to it? It starts here, where you look up and say, God, I can be better for you in this, and I need to be this, and I can be different here, and I can accomplish this, but God, I got to figure out the steps. And by the way, there's some angels that are ascending and descending. There's people. Come on, be humble enough to be teachable. All right? I don't know it all, and you don't know it all. This church plant thing, I told Brother Rogers this morning, I said, you know what? This is the first one we did. You know, God gave us the building and everything, you know, it was almost like a church restart. This one we're doing, I mean, this started with nothing. And man, I've learned so much. And I don't know, I still don't know how to do everything. And I'd already do some things different. But you know, it's exciting. I'd like to turn around 4 or 5 years and do it again. And so I want to learn. I mean, you know what? It don't mean you get it all right, but the only way to learn, start climbing. Start climbing. Here's the formula. I'll close down if you promise you'll remember the formula. If not, I'm going to go on for another hour, okay? Dream a dream. See the ladder. Climb the ladder. Realize the dream. All right? Start with small things, young people. It don't have to be write a book. It can be, that's why I mentioned chocolate chip cookies. For some of you young men, you know what? It could be building your first piece of furniture. It could be building your first doghouse. And by the way, I promise you, it will be ugly. Sometimes the dream and what you envision and the finished product, it's like, wow. But you know more about building dog houses than you did before you built your first one. Okay. Nathaniel took me out there and showed me this Toyota truck he's got, man. And you know what I love about it? This boy did what all of us did in the 70s. He went and found a piece of junk. Sorry, but he did. That was too dangerous to have on the road. But he had a dream. I mean, he didn't see. This is what's great about being a young man at 15, 16, you know. You can go, when it comes to vehicles, you can go out in a junkyard. And everybody else is saying, crush it, scrap metal. And all you're doing is saying, that is so cool. I see myself driving down the main street of Linton on that. The envy of everyone in town. And so you buy it for $200 and you got to drag it home. You know, and you don't have a vehicle to drag it home, so you borrow horses, you know, and you drag it home. And then your dad's like, what did you do? And then he smiles and says, well, let's see what we can do with this thing. And, you know, he went out there and he was excited to show it to me. And I just walked away and said, that is so cool. That's how, you know what's wrong with our society, folks? Listen to me. Too many mommies and daddies are taking their kids down to the car dealership and buying them the finished product instead of letting them climb a ladder to get to the finished product. I mean, folks, start with a moped. It worked for Brother Morris. He dreamed a dream. I have a dream. First man in history to drive a moped from Coal City all the way down to Branson. It started with a dream. He saw the ladder. He should have burnt the ladder. But no, he was going to climb it. I love it. And I want to be done, but folks, that's America. That used to be America. I mean, people from the pioneers' days just showed up and there was nothing. But you know what? They didn't see nothing. They saw something. And there's some guy and he's got about half a plan and a wife that thinks he's out of his mind. And next thing you know, 30 years pass and they got this nice cabin and they've raised some kids and they've milked a living out of the God's good earth. And they sit on the front porch every night and they feel something that nobody that's ever not done it's ever going to feel. It's America. The American dream has been killed off mostly by our own government. We're handing people too much. We're giving people too much. People are losing the desire. I mean, where are the visionaries? Where are the people that can build the ladders? Where are the people that are willing to climb the ladders? You don't do that sitting on the couch, and you don't do it playing video games. I mean, then to experience the accomplishment of it, to have done something. And you know what that does? I can do all things through Christ. By the way, listen to this. What's the next word? Not who. Not who. Now, did he strengthen me? Yes. Is that appropriate? Fine. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And you know what that's saying? When you access Christ's strength and power and you accomplish something and you do it, that strengthens you to want to do the next thing. All right. Dream a dream. See the ladder. Climb the ladder. Realize the dream. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help this. There's so many. There's 100, 200, 500, 1,000 different ways in a group of people like this that this little formula can be applied. From some of the simplest things that an elementary child can set out to do all the way to some senior saints who maybe have, Lord, had their dreams stolen a little bit. And I'm not saying they can do everything that they could do in their 20s and 30s, but, Lord, you're not done with them yet. Just pray, Lord, that you'll help us, dear God. The human race without a dream. Lord, we no longer live, we exist. When the devil steals our dreams, we don't live, we're just existing. Lord, I pray, dear God, we'd make sure that the dreams that we have come from you. But Lord, give us dreams. Help us to learn, help us to accomplish, help us to climb, help us to get out of our comfort zone, help us to do the hard thing. And Lord, that does strengthen us for the tasks ahead. We pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name.